T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Live from Cardinals Spring Training and the D.R. Hughes Homes Broadcast Center. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
It's Joe Pott with you here from St. Louis, as a matter of fact, in for Matt Pauley again here tonight. So not live from Jupiter, Florida, unfortunately. I am live. It's nice here, though. Yesterday was a little bit colder. It's nice here. I'm not upset about it. But we are live from St. Louis, from our downtown studios. Joe Pott in for Matt Pauley. Hour number two of the Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. Glad you are along with us. Also here tonight, plenty more to do here in this 7 o'clock hour. We had a good 6 o'clock hour. We've got a great 7 o'clock hour coming up for you. On the other side of the break, Tom Timmerman. So we'll talk a lot of St. Louis City and what they have done. I'm going to get you some audio as well. Jen Cease was kind enough to be out at their weekly presser and collect some audio for us. We've got a lot of Roman Berkey that we'll let you hear from. And then at the, bottom of the hour, 7:30, we'll talk with Ken Pomeroy from KenPom.com on some college basketball, because we are rightfully now in the midst of the tournament. The first four game is underway tonight in Dayton, Ohio. It is Wagner and Howard right now, and it's Wagner up pretty big on Howard in that game. They're about 7 minutes into the second half there in Dayton. So let's hear a little bit from Roman Berkey and what he had to say, and talking about specifically the last game and how that went down, and kind of analyzing what their defense did.
After the game, it's more constructive, you know, like you try to actually analyze it, and you have also the time. And we saw that Pencil, the guy is really fast, and we just have to be better in protecting the middle. Don't get beat in between the center backs when it comes to our fullback, that we close it down, that the pass is going on the outside, so you can still go outside, make pressure, leave him outside the field. We scored 3 goals, which is amazing. We came back after being down 1-0. It's also something positive. Then at the end, we just have to defend it better.
That was a 3-3 game against LA, against the Galaxy last week, and he specifically talked about the third goal.
Penn still tried to switch the side, maybe to confuse us a little bit, and we gave him too much time on the ball, and we know that he's dangerous there, and then we have to make a foul, because otherwise he would be in our box already and would be even more dangerous. And then it just comes to, how do we defend set pieces and how ruthless are we? And that was just definitely not enough. We looked at it in a video and we saw Yoshida just run through our line and basically untouched header. That should not be the case. That's not our standard, and we are trying to do that better.
He reiterated too, and he said it in the last clip, just kind of talking about St. Louis City coming back in that game, and said they were fortunate to come out of there with a point.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always dialed in. Sometimes you have to do more, sometimes you have to do less. We played against a strong team. At the end, it's unlucky, because if you are up 3-2 close to the end and then you can see the equalizer, it's always frustrating. But at the end, if you look at the game, I think we can be lucky to have a point.
And that's what they did. That's what they've done a lot this year, is draw, quite frankly. They have 3 draws and a win so far in Major League Soccer play. And again, we'll talk with Tom Timmerman about that. More from Roman Berkey. I don't know that you would make this connection, perhaps, between a ice hockey goaltender and a soccer goalie. But there is obviously some connection there, a similar position. And Roman Berkey actually has spoken to the Blues goalkeeping coach.
I had a chance to talk to the goalkeeper coach from the Blues, and they need these shots, you know, like they need to get warm. And it's the same for us. I mean, once you're in a successful action at the beginning of the game, you feel way more comfortable, you feel good, you know. And if I don't have actions like maybe in Austin, where I think I faced two shots and we conceded two goals, that's just unfortunate, but that's also part of the game.
David Alexander, by the way, is the Blues current goalie coach, and I thought that was kind of cool that he is making that connection. And he also talked about another St. Louis goalie.
I mean, I'm far away from being an expert at the hockey goalie, but all I hear is that he's an amazing goalkeeper and he saves them a lot of games.
Of course, he was talking about Jordan Binnington, and they did have a chance to get together, but also, as I said, just kind of talking with David Alexander and getting some ideas and making those connections. I think that's kind of cool, and there's something that you don't think about all the time. It's something that you see a lot. Maybe I feel like you see it a lot in St. Louis, the kind of crossover of the athletes and their support of the other sports. We know full well about the Blues and Cardinals and how much that several current Cardinals players are at Blues games and supporting the Blues, and the same with several Blues players that are supporting the Cardinals. And that's something that's been going on a long time. And now I think obviously it makes sense that your other two major, or that your other major franchise, major sport franchise, is in that as well. And obviously there is some connection there between St. Louis City and the Blues also. So that's kind of cool to see. Blues are in action right now. They are facing the Colorado Avalanche over at Enterprise Center. There is no score. They're just into the first period in that game. And then, as I said, and I talked about this last night specifically, the schedule, I think, lightens up for the Blues, and they certainly have an opportunity. Even if they drop tonight's game, they have an opportunity to keep on the roll that they're on, having won four straight. You've got Ottawa on the road and Minnesota on the road. Minnesota is below you in the Central Division. Ottawa is not having a great season. You come home then for four straight at home, and the first three of those to end the month of March, you've got Vegas, who is literally right in front of the Blues as far as the wild card spot, and you've got Calgary and San Jose both having subpar seasons. San Jose is really not very good at all. You have an opportunity to pick up points here if you are the Blues, and honestly, no reason to think you couldn't steal a point here tonight against Colorado, and that just sets you up even better on this run that they're on right now, kind of continuing those things and getting you off on the right foot as they finish the month of March and try to make a push for the playoffs and for one of those wild card spots. So it's going to be interesting to see with, 14, 15 games to play in the regular season, what the Blues can do and where they find themselves come playoff time. And as Lou Korak said to us last night, you're in a much better situation than you were last year at this time, where you were already thinking about kind of playing out the string and just finishing off the season. Even if they don't get to the playoffs, they're in a better situation, they're in a better state, and you feel like you've got the opportunity for a much more productive kind of final push here in their regular season. We'll get much more into St. Louis City on the other side of our break. Tom Timmerman is coming up from STL Today. He covers the club extensively for STLtoday.com and the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and so we'll ask him all the questions and talk to him. That's coming up next. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line. I'm Joe Pott, in for Matt Pauly. Tom Timmerman coming up next here on KMOX.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
On the Gray Bar Sports Open Line, Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly here tonight, and we're talking some St. Louis City SC right now. Tom Timmerman joins us from STLtoday.com, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and Tom, thanks a lot for taking some time.
Nice to be here, Joe.
Let's talk a little St. Louis City, and we talked about this last night. We had this story yesterday on the air. There is a fairly large group of City fans that are sort of putting their protest, I guess, putting their money where their mouth is, or however you want to say it, but they're upset about the choice the MLS has made for the League's Cup versus the Open Cup. And I thought it was interesting that just today you retweeted an on this day tweet from the Open Cup folks. It was a day that a St. Louis team had won the Open Cup.
Indeed. It was 1922 that Cullen Steele won. It was the second Open Cup championship for a St. Louis team, and one of 11 Open Cup championships won by St. Louis clubs over the years. And that's one of the reasons why the fan base here is so upset about this, is because few cities have the history with that event that St. Louis does. And they're respecting the history that, and now St. Louis isn't part of it, even though there's a team here that they're not able to take part in it. And and it goes back to the League's Cup, because the league is saying the schedule is too cluttered. There's too many games there. We've got to find a way for fewer games, to which many would say, don't play the League's Cup. But the league would say, we make a lot more money off the League's Cup than we make off the Open Cup. So, it's much more lucrative for the league to have the League's Cup. But if you don't mind me going on, I would say I think MLS involvement in the Open Cup is kind of essential, because in a soccer, biosphere where you don't have promotion and relegation, there is really no contact between Major League Soccer and the other levels of American soccer. And the Open Cup is the only place that happened, where MLS teams played USL Championship or USL League One or League Two teams. And so it was the only time that MLS teams interacted with the rest of the soccer community. And they're taking that away, and it further isolates Major League Soccer from the rest of the American soccer community.
You absolutely made a point I was going to make. That is what, when we're watching the English Premier League, that's what everybody says about the FA Cup, right? That you get this opportunity, these opportunities for these lower division teams to pull off sometimes these massive upsets of the bigger Premier League clubs, and it's the same situation here that you get, as exactly as you said, that's where you get that relationship between those divisions of soccer.
Yeah, and, you know, even if the Major League Soccer team beats these other teams, for these other lower division teams, it is the highlight of their season because they're not playing another USL championship team. They're not playing a League Two team. They're playing an MLS team. And even the potential for that upset makes it an incredibly big deal for those clubs. And we saw it here locally.
I was going to say that. St. Louis FC, right?
You know, we had a couple runs in the Open Cup. And, you know, that meant the world to them and to their fan base. I mean, that's one of the reasons, another reason why St. Louis fans are so upset about it, because they went through those experiences where City knocked off a couple MLS teams one year, or when they went and played at Kansas City, the first time there'd been St. Louis versus Kansas City soccer in you know, decades. And that was a big deal. And now it's not going to happen. So, I mean, I hope that they find a way to figure it out. You know, they got, what, 8-10 teams from MLS, I think, taking part in the Open Cup this year, and then next pro team. But City, because they qualified for the Champions Cup, isn't taking part in it this year. It wasn't their choice.
Right.
The team would wanted to play in it. They respect the history, and they also know, you know, it's fans will come to these games. Because, I mean, St. Louis sold out a game last year against a third division club. You look at some of these other games, other teams, they get, you know, a few thousand fans tops if they have a home game. And so you can see why maybe they're not interested, because it's just a nuisance for them. But in St. Louis, it's a big deal.
100%. Tom Timmerman with us from STLtoday.com, talking about St. Louis City. Let's talk about, unfortunately, some injuries that have cropped up. Edward Leuven missed the last game against the Galaxy. What do you know, or what do we know about him? And then Tim Parker today coming up with some injury news.
Yeah, so with Leuven, I mean, it's kind of been expected that he would be out 2 weeks, so they're kind of hesitant to put a timeline on it.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't practice today. I would fully expect him not to be playing Saturday against DC United. Tim Parker came down with tightness in his back, maybe a back spasm, on Wednesday right before the game. With the LA Galaxy on Saturday. He made the trip to Los Angeles, wanted to play, but the team decided as a precaution to hold him out. He didn't practice today. Bradley Carnell said after practice, still feeling some tightness in his back, and they're waiting to see if that changes. And they're saying they'd rather, you know, not play him than risk playing him and making it worse. So it's a question of, you know, do we keep him out for 2 weeks, and then hope he's back, or do we risk, you know, playing him and having him be out 9 or 10 weeks? So right now they're going to take the cautious approach and not play him. So it's a couple, you know, if he were to be able to practice Wednesday or Thursday, he could probably play Saturday. So it's still early if he suddenly starts feeling fine for him to get out there.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, the MLS season is so stretched out that if you have the opportunity, if you can be without a guy maybe for a couple of weeks now in March, and then, you know, ultimately have them down the stretch, that makes a lot of sense. St. Louis and D.C. coming up on Saturday here at City Park. They're back in town for the first time in a couple of weeks. It'll be nice to see them back here at City Park. What do you expect out of the D.C. match?
You know, DC is a much better team than last year. They have they've improved a good deal. They have looked pretty good in their opening games. They lost last week, but they've got some good talent. And you know, it'll be a tough one for City. I mean, City with the home field advantage and the way they're playing is in good shape. And it'll be good to see a couple former St. Louis City SC players in Jared Stroud and Lucas Bartlett, who were traded there for Chris Durkin in the offseason. Stroud scored a goal for DC last week. But Chris Durkin has played great for City SC. He's really been a standout in this first month of the season, covering a lot of ground, getting involved on both offense and defense, and making a lot of things happen. So that's been a good trade for City SC as they get started here.
That will be Saturday night, 7:30 at City Park. Tom, I hate to cut you short. I have to, though, and I appreciate you lending some history to our certainly our news story, talking about the Open Cup and lending a little bit on St. Louis City SC, and I'll make sure that we get a chance to catch up again.
You guys know where to find me. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. Tom Timmerman with us from STLtoday.com and the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Ken Pomeroy coming up on the other side of the break. It's the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
They are playing basketball. Lots of college basketball. The NCAA tournament officially getting underway tonight. The men's side with the first four games in Dayton, Ohio. And it is my absolute pleasure to welcome in here to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line, Ken Pomeroy. Of course, if you've done any kind of basketball research or surfing on the web, you've run into KenPom.com. Ken, thank you so much for taking some time on what I imagine is a busy time of year for you.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
So I am a subscriber. I'm a frequent reader. My full-time job is a college basketball play-by-play guy. I'm always using your site. So this is honestly a thrill for me. I'm curious, when you get into this, when you started this, is this an I love college basketball thing, or is this I love the numbers and the formula, or is it a little bit of both?
It's mostly, I love college basketball. I wouldn't have devoted this much time to it if I didn't love the game. You know, there's got to be some of that going on. I do like the challenge of making predictions and, kind of displaying information to the public. So all of that is stuff that interests me as well. But, I wouldn't do this for college field hockey or something like that, right? Like, it has to be something I'm really interested in, and college basketball is it.
So this time of year, are you able to just sit back and watch games, or are the wheels constantly turning? I missed on that one, or my formula was off on this one, or is there the opportunity to just take it in like the rest of us do?
For the most part, I think I've managed, to be able to take it in. There is some of that, some of that feeling. It's like everybody else, is filling out a bracket and worried about that. But for me, my ratings are kind of the bracket. So,
sure.
I mean, in the end, the tournament's not going to fall in line with the ratings. And that's why we love it, is because it's very, unpredictable. And the ratings are just designed to provide, probabilities of which team, should win a game or which team should advance to the Sweet 16 or whatever. So I understand how my ratings work. And I'm not necessarily dying on every game here.
Sure.
But at the same time, I also understand that the public might feel differently about that.
when you get into this and you start figuring out what things you want to track and the things, adjusted offense, adjusted defense, the tempo of games, how is it that you went about deciding what factors were going to go into your ratings as you began to, rank those factors or have some sort of hierarchy to what factors were important?
Right. So the only thing that really goes into the ratings is, the adjusted offense and the adjusted defense, just looking at points per possession scored and allowed and making appropriate adjustments for the quality of the competition and when the game was played. So everything else on the site is just kind of information. Just to get a better understanding of what a team or a player does well. And a lot of the choices in that regard, certainly early on, were driven by a person by the name of Dean Oliver, who is kind of the godfather of basketball analytics. And he's really an inspiration for me back in the early 2000s. And that kind of got me started. And there's, been a few things I've added along the way that I've just been curious about. There's just something I wanted to know that, you know, I couldn't find anywhere else. And so I just added it to the site.
So I imagine that that part of it right there has to be some of the fun part, right? When you start, and that, you know, I do the same thing, just even in the course of a season, and I'll find myself, you know, making an Excel sheet because I wanted to track something that I felt like was starting to be a trend about my specific team, right? So I think that I would imagine that has to be kind of the fun part when you figure out one of those things and you're like, all right, I'm going to go to work on that.
Absolutely. You know, like one thing that comes to mind is, you know, I have something called two foul participation on the site, which basically measures how often a coach will play a starter with two fouls in the first half. It just gives you an idea of, you know, how aggressive a coach is when players are in foul trouble. And, you know, you heard certain coaches had reputations for being more liberal or more conservative in that regard, but it was never really documented anywhere. And so I wanted to document it somewhere. So it did take a little bit of work to like parse all the play-by-plays and come up with some code that would figure that out in an automated way. But, you know, when you know the end goal is discovering all these new insights, like it sounds like a super boring job to code all that up, and it is, but knowing what the reward is on the end kind of makes it all worth it.
Yeah, I that makes sense to me. Like, I get it. Like, the work part of that, it, you know, would get a little bit mundane. But like you said, when you get to that point where it's starting to figure that out, that's cool to me. That rings true. Ken Pomeroy with us here on the Graybar Sports Open Line. The two of the things that I am interested in, and I kind of would like to know, like, how you've come up with it. First thing being the thrill score. And is that something that changes by how the game comes out? Like, for example, is there a thrill score? And I know, like, you've got a list. For example, I can look at a list for tonight and see it based on thrill score. So does that get adjusted then if, in fact, the game tends to be tighter than what you thought?
It doesn't. It's simply a pregame measure of, you know, how interesting the game should be, you know, accounting for how good the teams are, how close the game is expected to be, and how high scoring the game is expected to be. So it's really just a way to kind of organize your viewing experience for the night. And, you know, it really comes in handy on, you know, those Saturdays in January, yeah, where there's 150 games or whatever, and you probably can't sit by the tube for 12 hours. You got to pick your spots. And that's where that comes in. I do have, you know, post-game measures of excitement that, you know, that I put on the win probability graphs that are on my site. So, you know, there are post-game measures for those kind of things as well.
So the other one is luck. How do you figure out what goes into measuring how lucky a team is?
Right. I mean, this is, you know, definitely one of the more provocative things on the site, and I always get some attention at some point during the year. But it's really at its core, the formula is kind of complicated, but at its core, it's just looking at close game performance for a team. So, you know, if you win a game by 25, there wasn't a lot of luck that decided that outcome. Like, you're pretty clearly the superior team. But, you know, if you win a game by 3, there probably were some things down the stretch that went your way. I mean, a team is not in control of everything that happens in a game. The other team can make plays. The officials can have an impact on a game. There's just other, like, you watch games, there's just other, like, you know, wacky things that happen that can go for or against you. So it really looks at close game performance. If you're, you know, if you're 10-0 in one possession games, I mean, realistically, you probably have the skill at best to go 6-4, maybe 7-3, depending on who you're playing. So if you've gone 10-0, the formula will see you as lucky by 3 or 4 games. And you can imagine the reverse circumstance, it would see you as unlucky.
Sure. Okay. So do you have a favorite team or a team, you know, that you would prefer over another, just as far as viewing college basketball games?
As far as viewing college basketball games, so I mean, just as a general fan, you know, that the team kind of changes from year to year, I guess, and, you know,
sure,
the style I like. But I do really enjoy watching the teams that are kind of misunderstood or underappreciated, maybe. This year, I love watching Houston. Their team, you know, known for its defense, and their defense is great. Their offense is kind of ugly. They're not a great shooting team. They miss a lot of shots, but their offense actually ended up being pretty effective over the course of the season, notwithstanding the Big 12 championship game. But otherwise, pretty effective over the course of the season, mainly because they get so many offensive rebounds, and so many of those offensive rebounds are like loose ball rebounds. You know, they're getting on the floor, and 50-50 balls are, you know, 70-30 balls for them. So I just love the effort just watching that team, and and the fact that, you know, I think people look at the shooting percentages and might disrespect their offense kind of, you know, makes me appreciate them a little bit more.
Have you found that with the new rules and with the wide transfers that we have, all of that, has it changed some of your rankings? I'd imagine there are teams that are pretty consistent year to year to year. I mean, obviously, we can all pick out kind of some of those teams. Have you found that there are maybe a greater amount of teams that maybe are making their way up the rankings, even if it's for a year or two, because of the way things are in college right now?
It sure seems like it. Like, it does seem like, you know, there's more access to the top of college basketball
right.
than there's ever been. You know, obviously, you know, more liberal transfer rules really help that. I mean, you know, basketball players want to play first and foremost. And
sure.
so, you know, when you give them the opportunity to find that playing time on an annual basis, you know, talent is going to be spread a little more evenly across the country. You throw in the, you know, the COVID year as well, and you just have that much more talent right now anyway that's in college basketball. So, yeah, you know, one thing I do want to look at, Joe, is like, is there more variability from year to year? That should be a pretty simple question to answer. But, you know, you see teams like, you know, this year, like UCLA, who, you know, people thought would be pretty decent, you know, has a pretty good program and just kind of cratered this year. Arkansas is another one that just fell off the map. I mean, it does seem like you see these teams, you see more variability from year to year, at least in the last 2 or 3 years, but that is something I do want to look at more rigorously.
And it's interesting. I was chatting with someone today. When you take into account, so locally, obviously, there's a lot of folks probably be following Missouri. Mizzou wins less than 10 games. They don't win an SEC game. And this is a team that is still in the top 150. They're 150 on the dot. And then you look at some teams that maybe have more wins, but obviously are coming from a different conference or playing a weaker schedule. And I think that really gets into the heart of it takes into account a lot of who you were playing and what league you're playing in, right?
There's a lot going on there, yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, it's still kind of the whole importance of assessing schedule strength.
Yeah.
And, I mean, on the flip side in the SEC, I mean, you know, one team that did the opposite of Missouri is South Carolina.
Right.
They last year finished, you know, 221 in my system, and, you know, this year they're a 6 seed, and on top of it had, you know, somebody – depart for the NBA draft, you know, between last season and this season. So you wouldn't have necessarily thought that they were going to be in line for a massive turnaround, but all things are possible in the current environment of college basketball.
Well, I hope you get a chance to enjoy some of the tournament games. I've really enjoyed having a chance to get to chat with you tonight. Greatly enjoy KenPom.com. It's a definite tool in the work I do, but it's fun just to click around and look at some of those things and track some of those things as you talked about, but I appreciate you taking out some time tonight.
No problem, Joe. Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Ken Pomeroy with us here on the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. We'll wrap things up on this edition. Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly. We're coming back for a final segment after this on KMOX.
Dive into all things Cardinals on Cardinals Conversations, your go-to location for exclusive content from KMOX. Catch it on the Odyssey app or your favorite podcast platform. Stay connected with your team. Cardinals Conversations, where the Redbird talk never stops.
Appropriate promo, because we are going to talk some Cardinals baseball here in the final segment. Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly, the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. We are, as I said, chatting some Cardinals baseball, and we did have a poll up. I may have mistakenly asked for participation after we got started, but I realized the poll was already closed, so my apologies there. So the question was, who would you like to see starting in center field on opening day for the Cardinals, and the choices were Dylan Carlson or Victor Scott. And it may not be as simple as that. As I mentioned, it might be something where you have both of them in the lineup on opening day. So I'm kind of more interested in if the choice is between those two, right? And the question may come on who, on whether or not Victor Scott makes the major league opening day roster. So that is going to be a question. I don't think, as Rob Raines said, there's any question as to what kind of prospect that Victor Scott was and what they had in Victor Scott, but whether or not he was ready to hit major league pitching. And he has come around quite nicely here in spring training. He is currently 353 batting average and 898 OP. I'm sorry, 848 OPS. I can't read my own handwriting. 848 OPS. He has played in 12 games, 34 at bats. He has done everything they have asked him to do. He is going to be fine defensively. And I would say the same thing about Dylan Carlson. I'm not worried about defensively. I'm talking specifically offensive numbers here, where Dylan Carlson this year in spring training, hitting just 250, 777 with the OPS. He does have a couple of home runs and nine driven in. He drove in three today, by the way, in their win against Miami, in that 11-10 win. He had a big bases clearing double. But it is my contention. This is what I've said. By the way, the poll results had 62.6% of those who voted, and we had just about 200 votes, so an okay participation. I appreciate you participating. 63% roughly say they would like to see Victor Scott the second. 37.4% say Dylan Carlson. Here's what I will say about Dylan Carlson. I feel like he has had his chances, and I appreciate, by the way, the Cardinals curmudgeon's comment on our poll, who said, give DC the shot every year until he's 34. It's bound to work sometime. That's kind of how I feel that it has been for Dylan Carlson. And when I really, really thought this came to a head was 2022, the trade deadline, when they came out and made a big public statement that Dylan Carlson was the center fielder. He was not going to be included in a deal for Juan Soto. That he was the guy. They were sticking with him. They had all this confidence in him. I thought at that point, okay, that's what Dylan Carlson needs. That vote of confidence. He's going to take off. It didn't happen. It didn't happen then. Last year, he ended up playing in only 76 games. The best year he's had OPS-wise is 2021, 780 OPS when he played in a career-high 149 games. I just feel like he's had his opportunities. And if it is a decision between one of those two getting the start, and if it's not, and if you're shifting Dylan Carlson into left field and Victor Scott is your center fielder, I can live with that as well. We know that the outfield's going to look different at some point this year than it is going to look on opening day. You're not going to start the season with Tommy Edman. I really don't know if you're going to start the season with Lars Nootbaar. So the constant is going to be probably Jordan Walker in right field, and otherwise we're going to see a rotating cast of characters probably in the outfield. I am hoping that Victor Scott gets his opportunity, and perhaps it is a situation where he starts the season and you see what happens, and you continue to ride him until he's no longer playing the way he's playing right now. Think back to Vince Coleman, right? He came up in 1985 because he was going to fill in for Willie McGee, and it was supposed to be a very short fill-in, and we all know what happened in 1985 and Vince Coleman in the outfield for the St. Louis Cardinals. I'm not saying that Victor Scott is going to be Vince Coleman, although he did talk to us during the winter warm-up over at Ballpark Village and said that he has had a lot of conversations with Vince Coleman. And in his words, he has dropped a lot of coins of knowledge for him. And he has talked to him about stealing bases. We already know what Victor Scott can do on the base paths. That's something that is already established as what he can do as far as stealing bases. He does have four stolen bases this year in his time at spring training. But that is one of the things that he brings that he has the opportunity to bring that probably few others do on this team right now, is the ability to steal bases. And that is that's kind of the X factor, I think, that he can bring. But if he is also going to be able to be getting on base and he's going to be hitting the ball, I think you give him the opportunity, you ride that opportunity until it's no longer viable, and then you can send him back down if you want to. You can make those moves at that point. But I think that if the choice is between the two of them, I would rather see those opportunities go to Victor Scott. I think you have given the opportunities to Dylan Carlson, and I think to this point, Dylan Carlson really hasn't lived up to what we expected that he would be and what we had hoped he would be. Last year was injury issues, 76 games, as mentioned, but he ends up with a 651 OPS last year in 76 games. Five home runs, 27 RBIs. In 2021, it was 18-65, but still got on base at less than 35%. I mean, a 343 on-base percentage. There just hasn't been the progress that I think has been expected from Dylan Carlson, and I would much rather see somebody come up and get those opportunities and get the chance to showcase perhaps more of what the future of Cardinal baseball can be with guys like Jordan Walker and Mason Winn. I think you let someone like Victor Scott go until he's no longer going. And then if you need to send him back down, we saw it with Jordan Walker. They sent Jordan Walker back down for a little while last year for whatever reason that it was. They tell us one reason. If it wasn't for that reason, that's for them to know and for us to wonder about. But he came in and played fantastic. And so that's my vote is Victor Scott to get those opportunities as opposed to Dylan Carlson. It'll be interesting to see how the last week of spring training shakes out. Appreciate you letting me hang with you for the last couple of nights. Matt Pauly will be back later in the week. Tomorrow night, Matt, yes, Cardinal baseball on the air tomorrow night. So some spring training baseball for you here. Thanks so much to our guests tonight. Randy Mullman, Rob Raines, Ken Pomeroy, and Tom Timmerman joining us here tonight. I will talk to you on Friday morning on Total Information AM. Thanks so much, Matt Pajeski, for last night, for tonight, for getting all those guests booked as well. I'm Joe Pott. Matt Pauly returns later this week. Thanks for keeping it here on the home of the Cardinals, KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.